My sisters, my brothers in Christ, on this, the fourth weekend and the last weekend of our parish mission, and continuing our reflections on the Mass, I would like to make a pastoral and a moral examination of conscience on the Holy Eucharist, based on the doctrinal content of what I've said about the Mass during these past three weekends. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." Because a person who eats and drinks without recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord is eating and drinking his own condemnation. That's a paraphrase. The Catholic Church always teaches that to worthily receive our Lord in Holy Communion, that we must be in the state of grace. In other words, we must be free from sin so serious we would refer to it as a mortal sin, because it literally kills the divine life, sanctifying grace within us. And the Church says that to receive Holy Communion, conscious of the fact that we would be in a state of grave sin, would in itself be a sin so grave we would call it a sacrilege, which is the desecration of something sacred, and in this case it would be the desecration of the person of Christ himself. The Church further teaches that if, God forbid, we should be in a state of grave sin, that it is not sufficient to make an act of contrition before receiving Holy Communion. That first of all, that we must be reconciled with the Lord and with the community in the sacrament of penance before we should approach the altar to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. Now, my sisters and brothers in Christ, I bring this up because it is the teaching of the Church, but the Church doesn't want to make us scrupulous. But at the same time, in many of our parishes today, the lines outside confessionals are very short, sometimes non-existent. The Church does not want us to be scrupulous, but the Church does want us to be sensitive. And if year after year after year goes by and we don't go to confession, well, in the words of the Holy Father, the coarseness of conscience can set in. Now, I'm not going to be the judge of anyone on this. I just want to bring that there as a general principle. And we all, in the quietness of our own heart, we try to be honest with ourselves and to apply it honestly, realizing it is our own personal salvation and sanctification that's at stake. And only we are responsible for that before the Lord. We also need from time to time to examine our conscience concerning our dispositions in receiving Holy Communion. Now, sometimes in distributing Holy Communion, you will notice among some that if the external dispositions are true manifestations of internal dispositions, then you would wonder why people like that would receive Holy Communion at all. What I mean is people who come kind of sauntering up, their hands swinging at their side, and just put out their hand and pop the host in the mouth and kind of go back and flop down the seat and look around. Now, if the only reason for going to Holy Communion is because everybody else is going to Holy Communion, that, of course, would be very wrong. And the Church, in her great wisdom, reminds us that we are the ones who have the control to either invite the Lord or not to invite him to come to us in Holy Communion. But if we do invite him, then we should show him reverence and respect, and realize that when we have received him, that he is closer to us than the very air that we breathe. And so we should talk to him and recognize his sacramental presence. Like, who at Mass here this morning would be so bad-mannered as to invite somebody to your home and then ignore that person completely, what a far greater tragedy it is to invite the Lord to come to us sacramentally and then to ignore him. Another area where we can examine our conscience is, are we frequently late for Mass? Now, there will be times when something will happen, a person will be late, there may be an accident or getting children ready, somebody getting sick or something like that. But people who are habitually late for Mass, ask yourself a simple question. Am I late for work as frequently as I am late for Mass? And if I'm late for Mass frequently, well, if I was late for work as often as that, I probably wouldn't have the job that I have today. And what a terrible, bad example it is, especially when we have children, to bring children to Mass and to bring them to Mass late, as well as telling ourselves that the liturgy of the word is not important. I know also, notice at times that there are some people who during Mass resort to private devotions, maybe saying their rosary. Now, I think the rosary is a very, very important prayer for us Catholics, but the rosary has no place in the Mass. The Mass is public liturgical worship, where we come together not just as individuals, but as members of a family, to pray with Christ, through Christ, to the Father in heaven, to offer the gifts of ourselves, and not to enter into that liturgy fully, totally, and completely is not to have the mind of the Church. So full participation in the liturgy in terms of how we respond, our general behavior, our sense of reverence, all these things are very, very important in our participation at Mass. Another area where we can examine our conscience, and I know it's a sensitive area, and that is modesty in dress. I'm not going to be so foolish as to get into a definition of modesty, but you know what I mean. Especially during summer months, some people come to Mass as if they were dressed for the beach. Now, there is appropriate attire and clothing for the beach, but that clothing is not appropriate for participating in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And none of us, I think, if we had an audience with the Holy Father, would turn up dressed in rather skimpy clothing. We turn up in the very best that we have. And we wouldn't want to turn it into Sunday Mass into a fashion contest. But the important thing is to come in our Sunday best. Because even prescinding from the virtue of modesty, if we go through the process, of putting on a clean shirt, collar and tie, and best suit that we have, young girl putting on the best dress she has, whatever. If we go through that, it prepares us psychologically for even before we set our foot inside the door of the church. We know we're not just going down to the supermarket to buy a loaf of bread. So that is very, very important. Now, some people say to me, well, we should be very grateful that people are at Mass, irrespective of how they are dressed. Well, I will not accept that standard. I expect people, Catholics, serious people, to be at Mass. But I expect them to be modestly dressed, because there is also a very, very close connection between the virtue of modesty and the virtue of holy purity. And unfortunately, the contemporary secular culture in which we live has had an eroding effect, not only in the virtue of modesty, but also in the virtue of purity. So maybe we can take a moment in our spare time just to think about that and our own personal response to it. A couple of remarks about how we enter the church and what we should do. When we come into the church, normally the first thing we do is we dip our finger in the holy water and we make the sign of the cross. Now again, I see some people make the sign of the cross with a kind of a very fast motion. Now, the cross is a very, very reverent symbol. And it should be made reverently by touching the forehead, the breast, the left shoulder and the right shoulder, and doing it slowly while invoking the name of the Most Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when we make the sign of the cross in that reverent way, it reminds us of that greatest of all the Christian mystery, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. It reminds us of the cross by which we were redeemed, and the water, the holy water, reminds us of our baptism. Then the next thing we do is we genuflect. Now, let me say a few words about this. You know, in some churches, the Blessed Sacrament is reserved on a side altar, or it may be in a little Blessed Sacrament chapel, and not in the center of the church. And I have seen people come in the side door of the church, walk right past the Blessed Sacrament and the side altar, come over to the center of the church where there is a crucifix on the back wall, and genuflect. Now, there's something very, very wrong about that. It means that there is not that consciousness of the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Because that person has walked right past the tabernacle and genuflected to a crucifix. The crucifix is a very, very sacred symbol, but it is only a symbol. But the Eucharist is not only a symbol, it is the reality. And to ignore the reality and to genuflect to the symbol, something wrong. If I could give an example, father of a family coming home, mother and children there in the hall to greet him, he walks right past them, ignores them as if they don't exist. And then he goes into the living room, and in the living room on the wall, there's a photograph of his family, and he stops in front of the photograph to admire the photograph and to be grateful for the lovely family he has. Now, his family were in the hall, the reality, and he's ignored them, and he's gone to the symbol. So when we come into the church, my sisters and brothers in Christ, especially if the church that we are not familiar with, the first thing we should look for is, where is the Blessed Sacrament reserved? We should look for the tabernacle. And right beside the tabernacle, there is a sanctuary lamp, usually a little red light. And then we should face towards the tabernacle, consciously facing towards it, and genuflect reverently. Again, now I see some people, even very young people, and it's a flick of the knee. It's not a real act of conscious adoration to Christ in the Eucharist. We should genuflect in such a way that we're doing it consciously, and that our right knee will always touch the ground beside our left heel, and that we are facing directly towards the tabernacle itself. Now, as we get older in life, rheumatism and arthritis sets in, and we won't be able to genuflect, no problem. Then we can bow. But in our culture, what we've always done is we've genuflected. In other cultures, particularly in the East, they bow, that's fine, a deep reverential bow. But our culture has been the genuflection. And so that's what we try to do. And if parents bring their children to the church, and their children don't genuflect, and they don't bless themselves properly, and parents don't correct them, what kind of a message are they giving to their children? They're saying it's all right what you're doing, or even what you're not doing. That's okay. Well, I know from my own experience as a young kid that it was my parents who taught me these things. And that brings home to us the great phrase of our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, in his encyclical on the family, which I would love to see every Catholic family read. And a great phrase, a refrain that he has in there is that the faith is primarily transmitted by way of the family. Not by way of the Catholic school, not the priests, not the sisters, we all have our role, but primarily it is through the family, fathers and mothers who have the primary obligation of transmitting the faith onto their children. Of course, it's also very important that we try to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Even when Mass is not going on, that Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist. And if we don't have time to drop into the church for a moment when we're passing by, at least we can make the sign of the cross and say a little prayer. You know, Jesus, this is his home. This is his house, his consecrated ground. And when the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he says, Moses, take off your shoes, because the ground you stand on is holy ground. This is holy ground. This is God's house. This is where the Lord is with us in the Eucharist. He's your neighbor. And like good neighbor, we should drop in occasionally. My sisters and brothers in Christ, as you know as well as I do, unfortunately, there is that loss of the sense of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's manifested in so many ways. It's manifested in all sorts of opinion polls taken up by those who would certainly know enemies of the Church and who ask questions that can be understood of people, even though they may not be theologians and so on. So there is that loss of the sense of the presence of Christ. Very simple little example. Many years ago, when I was a student in University College Dublin, we were travelling along in a bus. If you were sitting at the back of the bus and passing by any Catholic church, I'd say 80% of the people would make the sign of the cross, or a man wearing a hat tip his hat. Why? Because we're passing by the church. Christ is present in the Eucharist. Well, I was back in Ireland last May and travelled on the same buses and passed by the same churches, and I could literally count on the tips of my fingers the number of people who made any kind of an external sign that they were conscious of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist and passing by a church. It's not everything, but the whole cumulative effect of all of these things does indeed convince us, without any doubt whatsoever, that there is a loss of the sense of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. If you just take last Wednesday, say in any church here in Los Angeles, my God, the crowds that were there for to receive ashes, hours and hours and hours, lines and lines. And where were they all the following Sunday? Now getting ash on the forehead to remind us of our own mortality, the need to do penance, of course that's all very important, but it's symbolic. But there is nothing as important as receiving the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ in the Eucharist and being present at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Why the Catholic Church has always taught that it is the offering of the Mass that is the very, very center and foundation of authentic Catholic spirituality. So, my sisters, my brothers in Christ, I hope that these few thoughts on the Mass, on the Holy Eucharist, Blessed Sacrament, that they'll be helpful to you and helpful to myself as we continue our faith journey in preparing for eternity. That we will always be loyal sons and daughters of the Catholic Church. That we will always make the very center of our lives the Holy Sacrifice of Mass. And that if ever we were tempted to leave, like those in the Gospel of St. John, which we talked about the first weekend of the parish mission, the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, when many of them walked away because they could not understand the mystery that was proposed to them by Christ concerning his own presence in the Eucharist. If ever we are tempted to walk away, hopefully that we will be able to make the words of St. Peter our own. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life, and we have come to know and to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for listening to God's word. May God bless you.